All right, here we are. Our first Zoom shiur. Hopefully one of a few. And we are doing Iyun Daf Yomi for today's daf. Today is March 16th. Hebrew date is Chaf Aleph Adar tonight. Chaf Aleph Adar tonight. The daf is Shabbat Yud. But we're going to start with Tetamud Bet. We're actually going to do about a blot and a half, but we're not going to do it all inside. And I know that even though I'm not doing Daf Yomi myself, but I have learned Shabbos before, and I know that for the first several blot, it wasn't so easy, and I'm kind of cheating here because today's Daf is kind of a treat. What I call it, a treat Daf. It's kind of a dessert. It doesn't have much to do with Shabbos for a lot of it. It's actually much more like Brachot. If you're going to compare the style. But nevertheless, we'll start at the top. What we'll do is, I'm getting my internet connection is unstable. Is everybody still hearing me?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So we'll start at the top with the Mishnah. Like I said, we're probably not going to do everything inside, if that's what you're hoping for. But we'll get enough done and then move over to the Makarot.
I don't know why it should be unstable.
It's fine. Okay, so the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Lo yeshev adam lifnei asapar samuch lamincha ad sheyitpalel. Lo yikanas adam lamerchatz v'lo laborski v'lo leachol v'lo ladin v'im itchilu ein mafsikin. Ein mafsikin. Mafsikin likrot kriyat shema v'ein mafsikin latfila. So the Mishnah here is actually not exclusive to Shabbat. It's connected to Shabbat based on the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah talks about things that you're not allowed to do samuch l'chashecha right before Shabbat. And here it's talking about things that you're not allowed to do, samuch lamincha. So just to say, what does samuch mean? So Rashi just says kodam lamincha, which is not very helpful in terms of concrete ideas. Tells you what the point is. The post can generally say about 30 minutes before is what we're talking about. And since there are a certain list of things that you're not supposed to be doing before mincha. And that includes going to a barber, going to the merchatz, the bathhouse, to the borski, which is a place where they tan hide. And you're not supposed to eat. And you're also not supposed to start a beit din. But the Mishnah says, if you start any of these things, then you can continue and you don't have to stop. Generally speaking, everybody should just mute their mics unless they have something to say. You can also raise your hand, I think, in Zoom. So everybody just mute their mics. So if you do any of these things, so then you're allowed to continue. You can finish what you're doing as long as you remember to go to mincha afterwards. However, that's true for everything except for kriyat shema. Mafsik in the kriyat shema, if zman kriyat shema comes, obviously this is getting beyond samuch la mincha because there's no kriyat shema by mincha. The point is that if it's already after mincha and kriyat shema, time for kriyat shema has come in the morning or at night, then you're not allowed to do anything anymore. You have to stop and say kriyat shema. And the final point is that that's true for Kriyat Shema, but it's not true for Tefillah. Kriyat Shema is Daraita. For those of us who learned the Masechet Brachot, Kriyat Shema is Daraita, and Tefillah is only Midrabanan. And so the requirement is lower, and you're obligated to stop for Kriyat Shema, like Rashi says, but not for Tefillah. Okay? That's the Mishnah. Let's continue. We're going to move a little quickly so we can get to the Makorot. So the Gemara says, which mincha are we talking about over here? By mincha, we don't mean the actual tefillah of mincha, but we mean a time period. And there are two time periods. There's mincha gedola, and there's mincha ktana. We're all familiar with this. Mincha gedola happens first. It's basically 30 minutes after chatzot. And mincha ktana is a little bit harder to calculate, but it's about halfway between, it's actually halfway between mincha gedola and shkia. And then plag mincha is between mincha. There's two plag minchas. There's, it gets complicated, but the point over here is the Gemara says, which mincha are we talking about? Because if we're talking about mincha dola, it means that you have to stop everything at 12:30. Can't have lunch. If you want to have lunch at 12:30 or 12 o'clock, which we normally do when we're working, you can't do that. Okay, so the Gemara says, Hay samach lemincha ilema lemincha gedola amaylo hayika shuhut bayom tuva. You're going to make everybody stop what they're doing at 12. They're not allowed to eat at 12 until they daven mincha. It's very early. There's plenty of time left. There's 6 hours left until they have to finish davening mincha. So, Ela samach la mincha ktana. So no, it means Mincha Ketana, where it's getting already close. Between Mincha Ketana to Shkia is a short time period, so you're not allowed to do anything. So fine, so that's what the Gemara says. Im itchilu, ein mafsikin. Nimet tihavi tihufta, the Rabbi Yosha ben Levi. Remember what's a tihufta over here. A tihufta is when you have a source which is Tanaic, which goes against a source which is Amoraic. So over here, you have Rabbi Yosha ben Levi, okay, who's an Amora, who says, Da'amar Rabbi Yosha ben Levi, kevin sheyegez man tfilat mincha, asur la'adam sheyit'om klum, kodem sheyitpalel, tfilat mincha. So tfilat mincha. So he says, Rabbi Yosha ben Levi says that you're not allowed to eat anything. You're not even allowed to be to'em. You're not allowed to actually taste anything when it's time for a tfilat mincha. So does that jive with what we saw in the Mishnah? What's the problem? Anybody know what the problem is over here? Pipe in?
Yes, tam mincha is mincha gedola.
Well, here so, it's we don't. It could be the same stam mincha, but the difference is the peula. Rabbi Yosha ben Levi is not allowed to taste anything, right? So he says asul adam shi'itom klum kom shi'ital tefilat mincha. So Gemara says no, la olam samuch la mincha gedola, ubetisporet ben alasha. So he said no, we have to explain what kind of actions the Mishnah is talking about over here. So the Mishnah, we're assuming for now, is actually talking about Mincha Gedola, right? So we're going to say Rabbi Yosha ben Levi is going to be talking about Mincha Ketana. But the Mishnah, the actions that the Mishnah is talking about are very specific actions. So it's not Stam sitting at the barber, like you go to Arik. It's going to, you know, you're not allowed to go to Arik, Samach Mincha Gedola. No, no. It says you're going to have a Tisporet Al-Asa. I actually don't know how to pronounce this. I think it's Al-Asa or Al-Asha. What's special about Alasha? So Rashi says that was like an artist. This guy, he learned for years and years how to give people a haircut the way that the Kohanim had to have the haircut. Rashi says, Chotno shel Rebbe haya, he was Rebbe's son-in-law, and he spent a lot of money in order to learn how to give the Kohen Gadol haircut. You know, you go to used to go into a barber and they had a magazine filled with all kinds of haircuts of different, you know, celebrities, etc. So apparently you could ask for the Kohen Gadol. That's what you could ask for. So that took a long time. So that took hours. And so even for Mincha Gdola, you're not allowed to do that. Samuch la Mincha Gdola. Okay, could somebody send the link to David Tarecki? So that's the first thing. Velola merchats, lakula milta, the merchats, velola borski, laborski gedola. So it says, you're not allowed to go to, what's the merchats, lakula milta? Actually doesn't explain. Let me try to remember. The merchats, lakula milta, the merchats. For the entire, kind of the entire, you know, it's like a spa. You know, you get the entire treatment. So that would take an entire day. We're not talking about going to the bathroom or going for a quick dip in the mikvah. You're talking about an entire day full of the spa. V'lo laborski. Laborski gedola. There's laborski gedola. That's a big plant where there's a lot going on. Rashi says, orot harbe ubetchilat tikunan. Okay, so you're going into an industrial type of borski, which is going to take a very, very long time. So, obviously, we've already seen that Machayana Meshutaf, what's you know, the common denominator here is things that take a very, very long time. You can't do even Samuch Mincha Gdola. Let me try to go a little bit faster so we can get to where we need to get to. So the Gemara continues, says, Lo Ladin, Betchila Din, the beginning of a din, Ravacha Bar Yaakov, Amar La Olam, Betisporet. Okay, so that's the first opinion. The first opinion says, the Mishnah is talking about Mincha Gdola. Ravacha Bar Yaakov says, no, La Olam, Betisporet, Didan, Lechatchila, Amai Lo Yeshev, Gzeira Shema Yishaber Hazuk. Okay, so here it says, no, it's a regular type of haircut, but there's a gezerah that maybe the bar...
Boy,
sorry about that.
Joe's ruining it, I'm sorry.
He's an answer with me already. So homeschooling.
Sorry about that. See. Okay, we're back. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're back.
Okay. Okay, good. It's still recording. Okay. So,
screen sharing.
Okay, there it is. We got it.
I turn off the Wi-Fi on your phone too.
I did.
Okay. Where were we? Okay, so the second opinion says we're talking about Mincha mincha gedola. But the problem over here is rather that something might go wrong. So the barber's shears, his scissors might break. We're worried if you go to the merchatz, you might faint. It's dangerous. You might caught over there and worry about your business. Fine. Let's get into the interesting part. You can't even eat a small seuda, according to Racha Bar Yaakov, because you may continue with the seuda, you'll get lost in it, and it will continue. Things might get very, very complicated, and you'll get caught up in the din. So now the Gemara is going to get into a separate section, which is all about how we define the beginning of an action. So, for example, how do we define the beginning of a haircut? So, when he puts the sheet on you to protect you from all the from the hair. You start to take off your clothes to go into the merchatz, to go into the bathhouse. When you start to put on your uniform. Rav says the beginning of the meal is making sense. It's when you wash your hands to eat. But Rav Chanina amar mishiyatir chagora. Right, so this is a favorite part for many people. It's when you loosen your belt for the meal. Okay, this is what people do. They loosen their belt for the meal. That's when they're sitting down and they're ready to eat. So the Gemara immediately says, "Velo pligi." It's actually not a machlokas between these two. Halan v'halahu. What does halan v'halahu mean? What does it usually mean? I've seen it a few times in Shas so far. Anybody know? So Rashi says, but you should know, this is what it almost always means. Halan v'halahu means this is how they do it in Israel, and this is how they do it in Bavel. This is for us. This is for you. Rashi actually says, halan v'halahu, b'nei Bavel hayu chogrinat atzman b'chozek. They used to walk around with their belts really tight. I don't know, maybe they were trying to make themselves look thin.
Look fit,
but yeah. They're really tight, and then when they ate, they had to let it out a little bit. They didn't do that. Actually, Rashi doesn't say that they didn't actually tie their belts tight. He just says that they didn't undo their belts until after they washed their hands.
Okay.
So now Abaye enters, and he says that according to the Bavliim, So the Bavliim, once they loosen their belts, right? So they're not going to be able to. So it makes sense that they loosen their belts because they're not going to daven Maariv, because they hold like those that say that Tfilat Arvit is Rashut. Okay? Hani ba chavir Bavliim, man damar Tfilat Arvit Rashut, kevin deshar lehimana lo machachin and lay. We don't make them tighten their belts again for Maariv. Now, what do we learn from this almost immediately? That apparently it's a thing to tighten your belts for Maariv, which the Gemara is going to get into in a second. So the Gemara says, "Uman damar chova machirchin alei v'hatfilat mincha l'kuli amachov." He says, well, wait a second. We're talking about they're supposed to eat way before mincha and let their belts out, and then they have to daven mincha, so they're going to have to tie their belts anyways, and that's for sure a chova. V'tnanim itchilu en mafsikin. We don't make them stop for mincha. So I'm Rabbi Chanina, Mishiatir Chagora, Hatam lo shchicha shichut. Hacha shchicha shichut. So explains that over there, they don't get drunk in the middle of the day, but people do sometimes get drunk at night. So that's going to explain why why we're not worried about mincha, but we are worried about ma'ariv. Right? Ma'adam ar-chova ma'chichin alei, v'ha tefilat mincha dekuli
ha'machin. Mincha's karnim as well, right?
Ah, good. Joe, what's your question about Birchas
Kohanim? That's why we don't have Birchas Kohanim at Mincha here in Israel.
So that's Tosus's question, right? Because what did the Gemara just say? The Gemara just said, we're not worried about people being drunk for Mincha, but we are worried about them being drunk for Maariv, because they eat dinner, they drink a lot. So Tosus says, Joe, you're mechavin to Tosus's question at least. So at the top over here on the left, he says, "V'im tomer the bereish batra the tanit amin and shachrit the musaf the kol yoma lo shchiach shechut lo gadzren mincha uni ila the shchiach shechut chayshinan amagam b'mincha shchiach shechut." So Tosa says, "I don't understand. We generally are worried about people being drunk for mincha, and that's why we don't have berchat kohanim at mincha. So why does this gemara seem to assume that we're only worried about people being drunk for mariv, but not about mincha?" So the answer is because there's drunk and there's drunk. I think we talked about this in the last year that we did, which was a while ago, on Daf Yomi, that the threshold for being drunk for Nisiat Kapayim is very different than the threshold for being drunk in general for David. Right? For Nisiat Kapayim, if you have even a Revi'it, you're not allowed to do Nisiat Kapayim. This is why on Simchas Torah, many shuls are makbid not to have a nesiat kapayim at musaf in the morning, whereas we don't stop people from davening musaf, right? Why don't we kick everybody out from musaf? The answer is for nesiat kapayim, it's a different threshold than for musaf itself. Okay, so now here's where things get a little bit funny. It says, inami b'mincha kevin de kfiya leizimna mirtat v'lo ati lemifsha arvid kevin de kula leile isman arvid lo mirta. So first of all, the Gemara says that we're Mincha is a limited amount of time, so we're going to allow people to go over a little bit. But Mariv, ati lemifsha. Mariv is lo ati lemifsha. People aren't going to make a mistake with Mariv because they have such a long time. They have all night until the morning to do it. You have all night until the morning, so lo mirtat. Sorry, I take that back. It's the other way around. It's the other way around. I apologize. Mincha, since people have a limited amount of time, they pay attention,
right,
and we're not worried about them messing up. But Mariv, because they have all night, lo mirtat, they don't worry about it, and they may mess up. Okay. Fine. Okay, so now, here comes Rav Sheshet with a funny question. Matkifla Rav Sheshet. Remember what kind of question is a matkifla? Anybody remember what kind of question is a matkifla? Anybody?
If.
So matkif is
an
attacking question from logic, not from a source, but from logic. So Rav Sheshet has a problem with this on principle. Matkif for Rav Sheshet, trichut ala meiser hemena. Is it really such a big deal for people to put their belts back on for davening? So they loosen their belts, let them put their belts back on. What's the problem? And he said, "V'od leko hachiv litzli." So they don't tighten their belts, but they get up and they daven. What's the big deal? Why do you have to tighten your belt in order to be able to daven? Okay. So there's the two questions that Rav Sheshet asks. It seems the Gemara only answers one of them. Gemara says, "Mishum shenamar hichon likrat elokecha Yisrael." You have to prepare yourself for God, meaning you have to retie your belt in order to be appropriate for davening. So that's the reason why it's a big deal to be able to retie your belt. The Gemara doesn't seem to deal with the question of why it's so hard to retie their belts, right? The Rishonim talk about that, why the Gemara doesn't address that. We don't have time to get into it right now. Okay, Rava Barav Huna. Now the Gemara is going to give a bunch of examples of things that people would do in order to prepare themselves for davening. So some of them may seem familiar, and some of them may not, and some of the ones that we know and love may not show up over here. So Gemara says, for example, Rava Barav Huna Rami Puzmaki Umatli. He used to shine his shoes and daven. Amar Hichon Likrat. That's the reason he did it. Rava Shadi Glime Upakar Yadei Umatli. He used to put on his jacket, and he would hold his hands in a certain way. Rashi says Chobek Yadav Beetzbotav. He would hold his hands like this. That's how he would daven. So this was his kind of stance for davening.
We take a position.
Yeah, that was his position. Let's see if we can get through a few more. Amar Av the Kami Mari. He says, "I'm like a slave in front of a master." Amar Avashi Chazini Leil Rav Kahana Ki Katzara Baal Mashadig Lime Upakayada. He says, "I saw that he would do this. He would put on his jacket, his cloak, and he would put it over himself, and he would hold his hands like this." Amar Kav the Kami Mari. Same thing.
I think he takes it off, not puts it on.
Shadi glime, you're correct. Shadi glime means to take it off. Shadi glime means to take it off? Yes. Yeah. Yes, you're right. Rashi says, Mashlich adar tome alav, shelo yireh kechashuva. A cloak was a sign of nobility, so he would take it off, you're correct. He would take it off, and he would make himself look like a slave. And that's why Rav Kahana, apparently, he would take it off during bad times, so he would look like a slave. However, when it was good times, lavish umit kase umit atef umatzli, he would wear it and he would cover himself and he would put it over his head and do ituf, and that's how he would daven. It's very interesting. The Rav, Rabbi Soloveitchik, used to say, based on this and other sources, that it's important to cover your head during a time of intense shechina. So, for example, for Shmona Esrei, and for Kedusha, and for all kinds of things where there's an influx of Shekhinah, that it's important to cover your head. And so you'll find, by the way, that when people, when judges sit down to do judgment, they cover their heads either with a hat, or with a talit, or with anything.
In England, they wear wigs.
I wonder if this is the basis for the wigs. I'm skeptical. But Jewish judges, they cover their heads because there's an influx of Shekhinah. It's like Elohim is there. And so they have to cover their heads. That's ituf.
I've never seen it, Rabbi, but when I've been in Chutz La'aretz, I see that Sfaradim cover like their whole family with a talit at the time of Birkat Kohanim. Like in Chutz La'aretz, I don't do Birkat Kohanim. In Israel, do you cover yourselves with your talis at Birkat Kohanim?
Hold on. Are you serious?
What?
Do you really not know?
I'm under my talis. How would I know?
That's amazing. Yes, people cover their children with the talis. That's just amazing to me that you don't know that.
Why would I know?
Cover the head of the son.
No, Ashkenazim generally cover the whole. All the kids come over. Colin Shachat has his, his 20-year-old sons come over to him, and who'd been through the army already, and they go under the palace.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Simon, I can't believe you haven't been peeking.
I know what you do during Berachas Kohanim. Okay. Interesting. I guess that makes sense, but it's still funny that you could ask a question like that. Okay. So the Gemara says, Rava chazil Rav Hamnuna de kamarech betzlute. Rava saw that Rav Huna was taking a very long time with Ishmon Esrei. And Rava, he scolded him. He said, Minichin chaye olam v'ozkin b'chaye shah. You're giving up chaye olam, and which is
the hanim.
I think Hashem wasn't happy with me making fun of Simon. I apologize. Okay.
You what? In front of Simon?
I was teasing you about not knowing what the non-Kohanim do.
Oh, Rabbi, that was nowhere near teasing. You normally get much worse.
All right. This is a different series of shurim we had on Berachas Kohanim last year, and we can go back and you can listen to the recording.
Oh, yeah. What are you talking about? The fact that I can see Simon?
Yes.
Rav Schechter, I've seen him. He stares at the Kohanim. He just stands in front of them, just staring at them the whole time. That's great.
I've checked you before, Rabbi, to see what you're doing. I've peeked over. See what's going on.
And I thought you're not meant to look.
I don't see. I just see your hands. I don't see your hands. You're supposed to block your hands.
Don't you remember with the Spock interview that he says that he peaked as a child, and then he said, go forth and prosper.
I mean, you've got to look it up on YU website, and you can listen to the share there.
We were on Rava scolding Rav Hamnuna for davening for too long. He said, you need to go back to the base medrash. What are you doing over here davening for so long? So he scolded him and said, you're menichin chayei olam ve'ozkin b'chayei shah. So I listened to Rabbi Reisner. He said, you have a big mussar from over here that the Gemara seems to be saying that that you know, there's a time for davening, and there's a time for Gemara. There's a time for learning. Now, there's a lot of ways to read this Gemara, though. It seems to be saying that this is what Rav Chamnuna thought. Doesn't mean he was right, necessarily. You know, is it really right to extend the amount of time that you're davening, even at the expense of learning? Rabbah didn't think so. The Gemara is just giving a justification for what Rav Chamnuna was thinking. But Rabbi Razum did point out that, you know, on the other hand, some people, at Chata'ayani Maskarayom, we learn during davening, and there's maybe a misunderstanding of that there should be a block of time just for davening and not for learning.
I listened to that share, and I thought that he gave that musar about like Friday night on reading the parsha sheets.
Ah, yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah.
But is tefillah considered under the Shemona Esrei? It's considered every Sukkah, the Zimra, and everything else as well.
Look.
When he says tefillah here, is it referring to the
Shemona Esrei? Shemona Esrei. Almost always when the Gemara refers to Slute or tefillah, it means the Shemona Esrei.
And the Chazar Sashatz, or just the tefillah?
No, just the tefillah.
So you're not drawing during your Shemona Esrei.
The point is, though, that when you're standing in front, it's still during Chazar Sashatz, you're still standing in front of Hashem as a tzibur. So, you know, there's a time for everything. Okay. I'll do one more small piece over here and then jump. Rav Yirmiyah v'yativ kameh d'Rav Zera v'havu aske b'shmata nagel itzluse v'hava kamesarhev Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah was sitting in front of Rav Zera and they were learning. Nagel itzluye, and what happened? He paused to daven? What was he doing? Can't remember now. Rashi doesn't help.
It was becoming late to pray.
The Ma'ar Amad. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, they were in the middle of davening, and it was getting late, so they had to stop. He started to get up. Do you think Hashem likes it? It's the inverse, right? If you think Hashem likes it when you stop learning Torah just to be able to daven? If you're not going to learn, so then he's not going to listen to your tefillot. Joe, do you remember what Rabbi Rasser said about this?
Sorry.
He quoted the Shaar Metzion Bahalacha over here. Quotes a medrash. I think it was Yalkut Shimoni that says that that Hashem, that you should really be careful not to say when you're learning something, you should be careful not to say, "Oh, I've heard this before," or "I learned this once already," because if you do that, then Hashem says back to you, okay, the next time you daven, I'm going to say, oh, I've heard this already. I don't need to hear this again. Rather, you should assume that whenever you daven, you're saying something new. So whenever you're learning Torah, there's something new that you can learn from it. That sefer, by the way, Shaar Metzion Bahalacha, Rav Shlomo Zalman Dron, is a fantastic sefer if you can get your hands on it. It's on several volumes of Shas, but more famously, it's on Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. That's where people actually know it from. But he also wrote several volumes on Shas. He was a rabbi who lived in Brooklyn. Shlomo Zalman Bron, Zichrono Livracha, fantastic set of Sfarim. Just on the Gemara, he brings down all kinds of great stuff. One of my favorite Sfarim. I used it for this year as well. Let's skip past this part and get to the down, get to the bottom. Specifically to here. Okay, here. Amar Avada Bar Ahava. Does everybody see where the mouse is? It's about, I don't know, 10 lines up from the bottom. So it says, Amar Avada Bar Ahava, Mitpala Adam Tfilatah B'Beit HaMerchatz. Avada Bar Ahava says that you're allowed to daven in the Beit HaMerchatz. The Beit HaMerchatz, it's not a bathroom, it's a bathhouse, right? Where people go to change, and it's like a sauna, communal bathhouse, slash mikvah, all these things. I don't think it's a mikvah. It's a big bathhouse, not a mikvah. So Rav Avada Bar Ahava says you're allowed to daven in the Beit HaMerchatz. So Meitivei, what kind of question is a Meitivei? This everybody should know. What kind of question is a Meitivei? Yeah, Meitivei is a question from a higher source. So Rav Avada Bar Ahava is an Amora. So Meitivei is going to be a question specifically, we can find out right now, what's that little Vav? Specifically from a Tosefta. Tosefta is a Tanaic source. So the Tosefta says, "Anichnas la Beit HaMerchatz, Makom shebnei adam omdin levushin. If a person goes into the Beit HaMerachas to the place where people are still dressed, yesha mikra utfila, vein tzarech lomar sheilat shalom, umeniach tfilin, vein tzarech lomar sheinu cholet. So the Beit HaMerachas has basically three spheres, right? Three concentric circles. In the outside part of it, people are still dressed. Generally, they're dressed in their, you know, in their basic clothing. And in that kind of place, you can daven, you can learn, you can greet people. We'll get back to that. You can wear your tefillin, so of course you don't have to take them off. Makom shebnei adam omdim arumim ulevushin, the place where people change, right? So where they take off their underwear, they put on their underwear. Yesham sheilat shalom vein sham mikra utfila veino cholitz tefillin veino meniach lechatchila. In that place, so there's kind of a potpourri, right? You're allowed to say Sheilat Shalom, you're allowed to greet people, but you're not allowed to learn, you're not allowed to daven. You don't have to take off your tefillin, but you're not allowed to put them on the chatchila. That's the middle. Yeah.
So if you're wearing your tefillin beforehand, you can get undressed?
Once you're getting undressed, you have to take them off, right? But the point is that you don't have to take them off if you're standing there. Even though there are people who are taking off and putting on their clothing, so you're still allowed to have your tefillin on. You're not allowed to put them on there, but you're allowed to have them on. Okay? But then you have the inner circle, right? Where people are mamash. Where is it? Makom shebnei adam omdin arumim ein sham shel shalom vein tzarech lomar mikra utfila v'cholitz tefillin vein tzarech lomar sheinu menichan. There, nothing is allowed, not shelat shalom, not mikra, not tefila, nothing. Where everybody is naked already in the bathhouse. So this is a question. Ravada Barava said you're allowed to daven in the Beit HaMerchatz. So the Gemara quickly answers, ki kama Ravada Barava b'merchatz she'ein bo adam. Now it's interesting, the Gemara didn't say, okay, he's talking about the outer part. Doesn't say that. Right, that would have been an easy answer. But instead, the Gemara says, we're talking about a regular bathhouse, and you may even be in the inner part, but nobody's used it yet. Nobody's been in it. It's an unused, brand new bathhouse. Okay? The Gemara says, V'amar Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, merchatz she'amru alfa b'she'en bo adam, beit ha'kisei she'amru alfa b'she'en bo tzoa. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina says, you're not allowed to do these things, even in a merchatz that no one is there, or in a bathroom that has no tzoah, no feces. Right? These are still off limits for anything. Ela kikama ravada bechadati. Sorry, I misspoke before. I said merchatz shein bo adam, but I preempted the Gemara. So the first answer of the Gemara was it was simply a bathhouse that is empty. There's no one there, but it's used. Now the answer.
And there's no one naked.
And there's no one there at all. Right. There's no one naked, but there's no one there.
Right. You are not naked.
Right. Of course not. So in a bathhouse where there's no one there, that was the first answer. But they rejected that because they said that's not true. A bathhouse that's been used, even if there's no one there, you're still not allowed to be there with your tefillin. In the place where people are generally naked. It's just, the place is not roly. But now the Gemara says, if the bathhouse has never been used, it's if it's chadati. How do I know that chadati is new, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
That's how do what I know that the word chadati means new?
What's chadati mean?
Taf v'shin, chadash.
Yeah, that's right. Taf v'shin are interchangeable, so it's chadshi, right? In Aramaic and in Hebrew, you have several letters that are interchangeable, the Dalet of the Zayin, the Taf of the Shin. So Chadati is Chadash. So if it's a brand new Merchatz, so you can be anywhere you want. So now the Gemara says, but wait a second, that violates another rule. Bahami Baibai Alele Ravina, he's Minu Lebeit HaKisei, Mau, Yesh Zimun, O Ein Zimun, V'lo Ifshit Alei. So it says, Ravina had asked a different question. What is the status of a bathroom, right? A toilet bathroom that has not yet been used, but obviously it's going to be used as a bathroom. So do you say that hazmana is milta, that the fact that it's been designated for a, I don't know what the right word is, for a, as a bathroom for profane use, therefore it is already profane? Or do you say that, no, not until it actually gets used? And the fact is, we don't have an answer to the question. But it seems like, based on our Gemara, we should have an answer. Ravada bar Ava seems to answer the question. So the Gemara says, well, Dilma Shani Beit Akisei Demayis. Now, there's a difference between a bathroom and a bathhouse. A bathroom is really profane. A bathhouse, a Beit HaMerech, has people walk around naked, but it's not disgusting. It's not, doesn't smell, right? There's just different levels of profanity. Okay, we're going
to
do
one's referring to a bathhouse and one's referring to a toilet.
Correct. Beit HaMerech is a bathhouse where people go to wash themselves, and Beit HaKisei is a toilet. That's the difference. Okay, we'll do a little bit more because I want to make sure to get this in because we're going to talk about this. Ein sham shelet shalom. What does that mean? You're not allowed to greet people in the bathroom, in the bathhouse, in the bathroom. You're not allowed to talk to people. Oh. A pasuk from? No? Who knows? It's there? Shoftim.
Sefer Shoftim.
Vayikra lo Hashem Shalom. Hashem's name is Shalom. Now, the full pasuk is Vayiven Sham Gidon Hashem Mizbech Hashem Vayikra lo Hashem Shalom Ad Hayom Hazeh. So the pshat is, what's the pshat over here? He called the place, right? The Chora, if I'm not reading it incorrectly, he called the place Hashem Shalom. It doesn't mean that Hashem's name is Shalom. That's not pshat. But this is how the rabbis read this pasuk. They took it out of context and they said, Hashem's name is Shalom. Fine. So you're not allowed to use Hashem's name in the bathroom.
Ivan, did Gidon call him Shalom?
No, he called the place. Right, he made him his bach, and he called the place Hashem Shalom.
Hashem Yireh, Hashem Yireh.
Right, exactly.
And Rashi says that he called him Shalom.
Right, so that's what the Gemara is inferring, but that's not the pshat in the pasuk. But that's what the Gemara is inferring.
Okay.
So the Gemara says, Ela me'ata heimnuta nami asur le'meimara bebeit hakisei. You should not be allowed to say the word ne'eman, right? Naskir emuna. You can't mention emuna. Dechtiv ha'el ha'ne'eman. Hashem is ne'eman. So you can't say that word either?
Ne'eman is just an adjective.
Yeah, but it says ha'el ha'ne'eman. You're right, it's describing Hashem.
Then you can't say rachum v'chanun, ne'erach ha'payim.
V'chitim ha'chinami. Yeah, maybe that is the case. Maybe you really can't say it. You can't say anything. But we see that you are allowed. It's ridiculous. There's no way that you're not allowed to say that. So hatam shem gufei lo ikri hachi hatam shem gufei lo ikri hachi the metagaminan aloha mehemna hacha shem gufei ikri shalom dechti baikra lo Hashem shalom. So they say these are two different words. It's describing Hashem as being ne'eman, but it's not calling Hashem ne'eman. Whereas they're claiming that over here Hashem is being called shalom. Okay, that's the difference between the two. All right.
That doesn't answer the 13 principles of faith. What we say.
Rachum v'chanun, erech apayim, rav chesed v'emet, all of that. Yeah. So we'll get to that later. We'll get to that.
Hashem tzva'os, you say. Okay.
Well, those are actual names. Still, rachum v'chanun are still descriptions. You're right that they're part of the yugyam midot. They aren't names, they're descriptions. But we'll get back to that soon. We'll get back to that when we see the sources. Before we see the sources, there's so much to do here. Just mamash, so much to do here. There's a lot of Tosfot, but I see that the hour is already 9:15. If we have time, we'll get back and look at some Tosfot, but I don't know if we will. Any questions before we jump into the sources? Okay, so this is actually going to be mostly Iyun Halakha, as opposed to conceptual. Sometimes we do conceptual, sometimes we do Halakha. Here is going to be Iyun Halakha. So the first subject that I wanted to tackle was going all the way back to, it's on the other PDF that I sent you.
Okay, go ahead.
The Seuda Lifnei Mincha. Okay, so getting back to this subject of what are you not allowed to do before Mincha? Because this is going to be a big deal. You have to be careful about what you eat, what you do before Mincha. Even if we say it's Seuda Ketana, it's Mincha Ketana. So that means that once Mincha Ketana enters, so now you're stuck. You can't do anything, right? That's what it seems to mean. You have to immediately find a minyan if you want to do anything. So let's see. So there's a wide range of opinions about what the conclusion is for this Gemara. The Beit Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo, brings down three opinions over here. He actually brings out more, but I quoted three opinions. You have it now?
I don't have Wi-Fi.
That's a good point. So come on. Now let me see if I can enlarge this. Just one second. That's better. Okay. So the Beit Yosef says, Katva Tosfot. So you know what? Let's look at Tosfot. I left it off the page because we have it on our Gemara. So I'm going to flip back to the Gemara. Here. Tisparet. Remember, one of the cases was that you're not supposed to go to the barber. And the Gemara said it's a specific kind of Tisparet. Tisparet ben al-Asha. So Tosfot says, Nira, Tahachi Hilchata. It appears that this is the halacha. V'shari seuda ktana b'mincha gedola ad zman tfila. V'davka seuda gedola kigon seudat erusin v'nisuin u'seudat mila asur. Uda lo k'rav acha bar Yaakov z'asar afilu seuda ktana samach l'mincha gedola. So he says, this is the halacha, Tosfot says. You're allowed to have a seuda ktana at mincha gedola, okay, until the end, right? But only a suda ketana is allowed, but not a suda gedola. But what is a suda gedola? A suda gedola is a wedding, a brit milah, anything like that. That's not allowed. And the halacha is not like Rav Acha bar Yaakov, because Rav Acha bar Yaakov wanted to say that even a small meal is asur from mincha gedola. The halacha kalishna kama destam lan shas. Rav Ashi shehu batra. So it's interesting, this is important to notice, that Tosfot gives you the understanding of how do we know that this is the halacha? Because this is the stam, this is the first opinion that's mentioned with no name, right? No opinion attached to it, which means that it was written by, or at least that it was put in the Gemara by whom? Who's the stam of the Gemara? When we say the Gemara says, who are we quoting?
Rabbi Meir.
No, that's a stam Mishnah. Meir is a Tana. Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. You're right. When we just say, when the Gemara is talking and it's not quoting anybody, who's talking? Who's the narrator?
Rav?
Nope.
Ravina and Ravashi?
Ravina and Ravashi, right? They're the redactors of the Talmud. Ravina and Ravashi are the final Amoraim we find in the Gemara. If you find anybody after that, so then it's post-Talmudic, essentially. So Tosfot says, Stam lan ashas for Rav Ashi shehu batra siderat ashas. So two things, Tosfot claims. Number one, we can see that this is Rav Ashi because he's the first opinion. It's not named. And number two, since Rav Ashi is final, is the last, the halacha is always like him. Stam halacha kibatra. This is actually a really critical principle. The Rif uses it to understand why do we always pass in like the Talmud Bavli instead of the Talmud Yerushalmi? Why do we always pass in like the Talmud Bavli and not the Talmud Yerushalmi? The Talmud Yerushalmi sounds much more holy, no? Sounds better.
The Talmud Bavli went into much greater detail and depth.
That's true. That's what some say. But the Rif says something different. The Rif says,
later.
As pointed out, it was later. What does that mean, that it was later? What's the importance of being later? Why is later better? Progress?
Well, they have the advantage of learning what the Yerushalmi did.
Exactly. The Bavli knew what the Yerushalmi said, and it still said what it said, which means that it was aware of what the Yerushalmi said, and it had that knowledge, and it built on it. So Batra is always better.
Amen.
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 Bracha
challenge.
You do say amen to that.
Hold on. So does this mean we can daven Maariv together like this?
No, it doesn't. Well, I mean, if we had a minion here, so then you could be Mitzdarev.
Yeah.
But we can't make a minion.
So can you just go back to this? You can have this Tisparet or you can't have this Tisparet? Tisparet ben Elisha, you can have before Shabbos or you can't have?
You cannot.
You cannot have.
You cannot.
But you can have a small soda.
No, hold on. Rabbi Yaakov. No. Yeah, you can have a small seuda. Yes. Yes. We paskin like the Ben Elasha and all those explanations for the Mishnah. In other words, the Mishnah is talking about mincha. It's talking about mincha.
Ktana.
Mincha ktana. No, hold on. No, the Mishnah is talking about mincha gedola. It's talking about mincha gedola, and it's listing things that are extremely intensive that you're going to have a problem because they will take a lot of time. So that's what Tosas is saying. Tosas is saying that the Mishnah is talking about mincha gedola, and it's only a problem with seuda gedola.
You can't tell how much hair you have.
And how fancy you want your haircut to be. So the Gemara says, so Tosfot says, "V'hilchata kavatei d'legabei v'hilchata kavatei d'legabei Rav Acha bar Yaakov." Rav Ashi beats Rav Acha bar Yaakov. It's big, even bigger. Mm-hmm. So that's what Tosfot says. We're done with it, actually. So that's what Tosfot says, and the Beit Yosef is quoting Tosfot when he says that. So first, the Beit Yosef quotes Tosfot, and then he says, "V'katav harash." So Rosh is Rabbeinu Asher. Fishita zuhilkach, mutar lahatchil b'seuda ktana samach l'mincha gdola, v'mihitchilu b'seuda gdola, ein mafsikin afilu mishiyagi hazman mincha ktana, u'bavad sheyesh lo shehud lehitpalel achar sheyikmor seuda to. So you're allowed to eat a seuda ktana from mincha gdola, and even if you go until mincha ktana, you can continue to eat the seuda ktana right up until you're in danger of actually missing mincha. Then you have to stop. However, if you start eating even a small meal right next to tefillat mincha, right next to mincha ketana, then you have to stop when it comes time for mincha ketana.
Can I ask a question, Hediot? Why is it called a mincha ketana, a mincha gedola? Always wonder.
Like jog my memory.
Isn't it because of the time that's left to daven? Mincha gedola, you've got a long space to daven. Mincha ketana, you've only got a small time left.
Yeah, but I think it also has to do with the korban, right? I can't remember now.
Okay.
I can't remember. But it's not, well, it's important because according to Rav Yehuda, you can only daven mincha until mincha ketana, until plag mincha. You can daven, and then there's a focus whether that's mincha ketana or mincha gedola.
And plag mincha is just before mincha ketana.
That's half of the mincha ketana is plag mincha.
Right. Well, there's plag mincha gedola.
Mincha ketana is 9.5 hours. That's 2.5 hours before shkia. So plag is 1.25 hours.
Right.
Before shkia.
Yeah.
Before shkia.
Yeah. So that's the first opinion. The first opinion, Tosos and the Rush say that seuda ketana is perfectly fine from mincha gedola, and you don't even have to stop when you get to mincha ketana, as long as you make sure you stop for mincha. But if you start mincha ketana, according to the Rosh, if you start eating a seuda ketana even at mincha ketana right before, you have to stop. Fine. Now, he quotes the Haggadah Maimoniot, says, "Avagav de b'Shabbat v'yom tov ochlin shachrit ein zakari seuda." Because where is this a problem? This is a problem for Shabbos meals. Are Shabbos meals big or small?
Bigger than a weekday.
Let's say we say that many Shabbos meals are small, right? Because you're just eating with your family. But what about the ones that aren't? What about shul Shabbos meals? What about 20-person Shabbos meals? What about Rav Machlis with 100 people? Does he have to make sure that to schedule his meal after mincha? I don't know if he does, but we don't do that in shul, right? So, or sometimes we do, but we don't have to. So what do? So he says, Shabbat v'yom tov ochlin shachrit ein zakhori seuda gdola ki'im k'sha'ochlin harba b'nei adam yachad k'seudat nisuin b'rit milah. You have to have mamash like a nisuin and b'rit milah. And so the Kobo says, v'katav od v'tzarchin mi'bal habayit sh'bnei beit ha'merubim b'chol zayid v'smach. He says, but I'm not sure, maybe you do have to be concerned about this. The minhag is not to be concerned for this. Okay. Then he quotes Rabbeinu Tam. Okay? This is Rabbeinu Tam, who's different from Tosfot. Rabbeinu Tam says, Asur suda ktana samach l'mincha ktana. He is the most machmir. He says, you're not even allowed to have a suda ktana samach He's in the middle. He says, you're not allowed to have a suda ktana samach l'mincha ktana, whereas the Rush says you're allowed to, but you have to stop. But he says you're not even allowed to start. Laman kemi mashgad to the Tosfot v'shari suda ktana b'mincha gdola ad zman tefila. Mashma to be zman tefila ve'elach, v'haynu b'zman mincha ktana ve'elach, asur afilu suda ktana. The sober the lav davka b'zman tefila the samach l'anami asur, the din suda ktana l'mincha ktana, the din suda gdola l'mincha gdola. Okay, so he says you're not allowed to start having a meal samach l'mincha ktana, even though the Rush disagrees. Now the final opinion that the Beis Yosef brings is the Rif. This is the most machmir. The Rif says, afilu suda ktana samach l'mincha gdola asur. You're not allowed to have lunch at 12 or 12:30. You're not allowed. You have to daven. Ta'amol l'fishu posikar v'acha bar Yaakov mishum d'lishna batra. He wants to say that v'acha bar Yaakov is lishna batra. How can he be lishna batra? We just said Rav Ashi was later. How can he be lishna batra? Because he's literally batra. It's the second opinion in the Gemara. So he wants to say, this is the second opinion in the Gemara, so that's how we pass it. Chen pasuk a Rambam. The Rambam also says this. Shekena enog Rambam, that he would not eat before mincha. Ulinyan alacha kevet sharif ha-ram maskim ledat achad ha-chinach tinan. So the Beit Yosef, Rav Yosef Kara writes in his Beit Yosef that we have to pass like the Rif and the Rambam, the Machmir opinion. Where would we expect to find this expressed authoritatively?
Shulchan Aruch.
So let's take a look. So Shulchan Aruch says, "Lo yeshev adam liistaper samach leminchad sheitpalel, v'lo yikanes lemirchas v'lo leborski, v'lo ladin, v'lo lechol afilu suda ktana samach leminchad gdola." Not allowed to have a meal. Samach l'mincha gdola. V'mitchil ba'achad mikol elu. Einu mamsik afa b'sheitchil ba'yisr. V'usheheishut b'yom edval. If you start, you don't have to stop. As long as you make sure to daven. So this is a big problem. No? Is anybody here? Who here davens before eating lunch? Anybody?
Rarely.
Not too many.
We used to have a Sephardi kollel in yeshiva, and when we had lunch, they would never have lunch, and they had to wait until they'd have a mincha, and at least eat lunch off.
Baruch Hashem! Baruch Hashem! I love it when we see the halacha in action. All right? So they have to, so they have slichos for a month, and they have to daven before mincha. Okay? They have to daven before lunch.
Mincha before lunch.
They have to dive in before lunch. Okay, so I'll take kidneys. Doesn't bother me. Meanwhile, in Ashkenaz, v'yesh chokin, the Rama says, usvir lo desuda ktana mutter, v'eino asurak v'sudas nesun omila. Right? Says, not a problem, suda ktana is not a problem. And Yeshua Midafil Suda Gdola, Samukha Mincha Gdola Shari. You can even have a Suda Gdola. Samukha Mincha Gdola, that's the Balamor. We didn't see that inside. That is an opinion. Vyeshomim the Suda Ktana Filu Samukha Mincha Ktana Shari. You're even allowed to start a meal before Mincha Ktana. Right? That's what we quoted in the name of Tosfot. That's from Ardaf. That's Ardaf of in Shabbos. So what's the Minhag? Nagula Hakel Kishte Asvarot. Dahainu. B'suda gedola, samach l'mincha gedola. B'suda ketana, samach l'mincha ketana. V'ev sh'ata, mishum da'achshav, korn l'beit ha'knesset lo chashin, and dima yivshav lo yitpalel. So it's interesting. So the Rama says, al pidin, it could be that we are mekel. The minhag is to be mekel. It could be because it's al pidin, we're following Tosfot. But there's another snif l'hakel. What's the other snif l'hakel? This is critical.
We have a fixed time for mincha.
We have a fixed time for mincha, and we have people that come and tell us. Nowadays, we have alarm clocks, we have WhatsApps, we have whatever you need to update people to make sure that they don't miss it. However, he says, "Miu besuda gedola yesh lahachmir afilu samach lemin gedola va'afilu mitchal kodem lakein כשמגיע מנחה קטנה והשעה עוברת, צריך לקום ולהתפלל. He says, nevertheless, we shouldn't be making about a suda gedola. Okay? Mayor, I don't know how this impacts the Sfaradim. Because the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention it, but it seems reasonable to assume that, look, they also have alarm clocks, right?
That seems like they didn't help by that.
So, the Mishnah Berurah jumps in and says, "Umayri shadarko gam kein leilech lehitpalel b'tzibur." We're talking about people here. When we talk about nowadays, we get called to mincha. We're talking about people who daven with a minyan, right? Avalim darko lehitpalel b'yichidut b'beitol lo mahani. If you're just going to daven by yourself, in Yoni Deyoma, right now, right? Right now, where many people are not going to minyan, maybe we need to be more makbid about davening mincha before eating. At least mincha, when it gets time for mincha ktana, you heard it here, when it gets time for mincha ktana, there's a good reason to say you should daven mincha. If you're going to daven at home anyways, you should daven mincha before eating, before doing anything, really. On the other hand, we still have alarm clocks. You set your alarm clock, you say, I'm going to daven at a certain time. Still could be that that there's room to be mako like that. By the way, does anybody know what the Dalet Hei Chet over here is? Anybody know what that Rosh HaTevot is in the Mishnah Berurah?
What?
That is? Anybody know? No. It's a Sefer. It's the name of a Sefer. So I'll tell you the name of the Sefer, and then you have to tell me who wrote it. It's the Sefer. It's called the Derech HaChayim.
Derech HaChag?
Derech HaChayim. So who wrote the Derech HaChayim? The Malbim. The Malbim. The Malbim wrote the Derech HaChayim.
Matthew just written...
Malbim, who is well known as, you know, the commentator on Nevi'im and Ketuvim, so he, did somebody write? And I didn't notice.
Matthew, Matthew wrote the Ramchal and then Malbim.
Matthew. So,
there's
yeah.
a chat at the bottom of the screen. You can see Matthew. I think his microphone's working.
Yeah.
Ask if he knew it or did he look it up?
Well, he said Ramchal first, so he didn't know it. Yeah, yeah, so it's the Malbim.
Matthew in the tweet.
Who started to write on all of Shulchan Aruch, and then he stopped. And there's a whole backstory to that. It involves the Chatam Sofer. Now is not the time. But yes, when you see Derech HaChayim, it's only on Or HaChayim, and I think it's only on the beginning sections of Or HaChayim, and it's quoted throughout the Mishnah Berurah very often, because he was a giant. But people don't know. People don't know. The Malbim wrote on Halacha. So, the other Mishnah Berurah says, "Lo chayshinan omnam miyad shekorin lebeit haKnesset tzarich lahafsik lehitpalel d'imlo hachi mayta kante." Look, if you don't go to shul when they call you, then this also doesn't apply. Veda d'davka suda ktana somchin al kriyat hashamesh lebeit haKnesset aval suda gdola ein somchin. If you're at a wedding, you can't be somich on the shamash calling everybody in, you know, because you know they get on the microphone and they say mincha now in the hall, but you were talking to your wife and you didn't hear. And you were out in the bathroom, so you missed. And better to daven. Okay. Also, he says you might get drunk. Okay. Fine. So that's Le'inyan, eating and getting involved in heavy things before davening. The next sugya is Ktivat Shalom Be'igrot V'amira B'vit HaKisei. So writing the name Shalom. Joe, why was it great to hear Rabbi Rosner talking about this? You know why it was great to hear him talking about this?
Go on.
What's his name?
Rabbi
Shalom Rosner. His name is Shalom. So this Gemara was great for him. So the Ran writes about this. Is Asur la'adam she'iten shalom l'chaviro b'bet ha'merchatz. You're not allowed to give shalom. So let's assume it means shalom aleichem, right? You're not allowed to say shalom aleichem to somebody in the Beit Hamikdash. Because of Rabbeinu Yechiel, mehach hashaminen da'asur lichtov ba'igeret shlomim shalom. The shem kodesh. U'matzui adam lezarkan ba'ashpot u'b'mkomot ha'mutunafim v'chein anu nogim shalom lichtov shalom shalem. So the Ran quotes Rabbeinu Yechiel. So you're talking about around 10th century, who says that you're not supposed to write in letters, you're not supposed to write Shalom at the top of the letter. So if I'm writing to Simon, I don't write Shalom Shimon, right? Because he's going to throw out my letter. And then he's throwing out Shem Hashem. And that's a problem. So what do we do?
Shin Lamed.
Hach Hashem Gufei Yikri Shalom. Sorry, so what do? You write Shin Lamed. You write Shin Lamed Chupchik. Or Shin Lamed Vav Nun Shalom. Something. You figure it out.
Dash.
Right, whatever. So Hach Hashem Gufei Yikri Shalom. V'kashali Amaylom Manya Leibo Toshimot Shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shimona. But the Ran is bothered, and he says, how come it's not listed amongst the Shemot She'enam Nimchakin, amongst the names that are not allowed to be erased? It should be there, right? Because if it's really not allowed to be thrown out, so then it should be in the list of names in Shavuos that you're not allowed to throw out.
You were saying Sholem Razmi, I can't write a letter and sign his name on the bottom.
Oh, so that's the question. So good. So the Radbaz chimes in. He's on the same boat. So is there any basis to not writing the name Shalom? So Tshuva Yafehem Osim. It's good that they're doing this because it's Hashem's name. Shneamar v'nikra lo Hashem Shalom. So he says, "V'im tomar, im kein, gamilat emet lo yichtevu." Shekhen HaKadosh Baruch Hu nikra emet. We call Hashem emet as well. There are many other things that we call Hashem. This is very similar to what the Gemara itself says. L'fichach ani omer. This is key. I say, "Shema sheyesh lizar shelo lichtov shalom malei haynu bezman sheilat shalom." When you say Shalom Aleichem to somebody, right? And you mean, what do you mean? What do you mean when you say Shalom Shalom to somebody? What you really mean is Hashem should give you Shalom. It's not because it's Hashem's name. It's because you're kind of invoking Hashem. Shalom latet shalom lachaveru me'ed ba'al shalom. It's like a kitsur way. You're just leaving out Hashem's name. What you're saying is Hashem should give you shalom. Kamo shabor amar boaz lakotzrim Hashem imachem. Shizu kavanat hanotem shalom lachaveru. That's what you mean. God should be with you. God should give you shalom. After all, where else are you going to get shalom from? Hashem gives shalom. Aval im ba'lichtov b'ktav sheyesh shalom ba'olam. However, if you simply want to write the word shalom, meaning peace as a noun, or noun, peace, noun. Oh, ben ploni le ploni. You say there's peace in the world, or there's peace between two people. It's not part of the greeting. No worries. You can write the word shalom. Shalom. Okay, so what do we learn from the Radbaz? A few things. Number one, the only real problem is in the first sentence where you say Shalom Aleichem or something like that. What is not a problem?
Using Shalom in any other context.
Using it in another context as a word to say that there's Shalom. What else is not a problem? What's not going to be a problem for Rabbi Rosner if you were writing a letter to Rabbi Rosner?
Using his name.
Using his name. No problem with using his name. You could say, hello, shalom, right? Because when you say the word shalom, you don't mean Hashem, you mean him.
And how about if you just mean hello?
That's a good question.
I can't remember, but I think one is not allowed to greet an avel with the word shalom.
Mm-hmm. That's not because of Hashem's name, though. That's because it shouldn't be an enthusiastic greeting. So there are things, you could say hi, for example. Most posts can say, you could say hi, right? But you shouldn't say salutations or greetings or peace be upon you. But you're allowed to say hi.
Maybe in those days, shalom had a different connotation.
Yeah, I think it was a little stronger than it is now. Okay, let's move on to the Ritva, a little bit of a different perspective. The Ritva says, Aval Shem Gufei Ikri Shalom, Kedechti Vaikra Lo Hashem Shalom. That's what the Gemara said, that the name itself is, name of Hashem itself is Shalom. Vimtomar Ma Raya Mahikra. How is there any proof from this pasuk? Daha Vididei Metagaminan Kadam Aloha Da Avad Le Shlim. If you look at the Targum over there, it says, this is in front of God who makes Shalom. Like, it's like saying God who is faithful, right? Or who is trustworthy, right? You're just describing God. It's not his name. So the Ritva says, what's going on? He says, no, it must be that over here, Shalom really is a name, and it's not just a Shem Torah, it's not just a description. Ignore the Targum. Ignore the Targum. Over here, Shalom is really a name, but in the context of like things like Chanun, Berachum, which are just descriptions, those are not a problem. Look, the Gemara says if you want to be like Hashem, right? It says that you're supposed to be davek to Hashem and you're supposed to try to lalechet bidrachav. The Gemara in Yevamo says if you want to walk in His ways, how do you do so? Mahu rachum afata rachum. So does that mean that my name is Rachum? If I am Rachum? No, it's just a description. And here's the key. Here, Tosfos says, Shalom is mamash Shem Hashem. Tosfos says it is one of the non-erasable names. So he goes all the way. I think it should say Anu Nisharin. What?
It says Hanim Chakim. It doesn't say Anu
Nisharin. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. I did that last night also when I was reading it. Yeah. Tosfos says that it is one of the names that can be erased. And that's why he says there's no need to be careful. V'chein Ein Nisharin L'Katvo B'Shtarot Shal Rishut V'Kayotze Bo. Some people are careful, but there's really no need to be careful. It's not one of the names that cannot be erased. I apologize, you're right. It's not one of the names that cannot be erased. It can be erased. And there's no reason to avoid writing it. Okay?
So that's the machlokes of whether
right.
Shalom is considered Shem Hashem or not.
Right. So the Ran wondered why it's not listed, but it seems that he thinks that it should be listed. And the names that can't be erased, and the Ritva says explicitly, based on Tosafot, that it shouldn't be. What's the halacha? So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Klisha katuv alav shem, kotzetz makom Hashem v'gonzov." You have an object that Hashem's name is on it. Hashem's name mamash is on it. So you cut out the name and v'gonz, and you're gonez is the name, and you can throw out the kli. V'asur lechtov shem lechatchila shelo b'sefer. You shouldn't write Hashem's name just in random places because people will throw it out. If you put it in a sefer, then you can trust that people are not going to throw it out. But to write it in random places is no good.
So if I'm writing a sefer, I'm allowed to write Shem Hashem in it?
Yeah. Okay. If you're writing a letter, you shouldn't write a shame by Igaret. And the Rama says, Yesh Nizharin, based on the Maril and the Shem Tashbet, which is what the Radbah, who was it that quoted the Tashbet? Oh, no, we saw it earlier. Never mind. So the Tashbet says that you're not allowed to write it, which we saw. Now, interesting. So that's what the Rama writes. The Shach, right? The Sifte Kohen. So he says, Varov Ha'olam Ein Nizharin Bazeh. Kach katu b'tshuvat Rosh, the mutter. The Rosh says that it's mutter. We didn't see it inside, but he says so. The Shach says, don't worry about it. You don't have to worry about writing Shem Shalom. What about saying it out loud? Okay? So the Shulchan Aruch says, Merchatz chadash shelo achtzu bo mutar lekot. Well, you can do whatever you want in a brand new Merchatz. ובישן בבית החיצון שכל העומדים שם לבוש הם מותר. We saw all this in the Gemara. You can do anything you want outside. באמצעי שקצת העומדים שם לבוש עם קצת הרום, יש שם שאלת שלום, אבל לא קריאת שמע ותפילה. When you're in the middle part where people are getting undressed, so there's still, you're allowed to do shilat shalom, but you're not allowed to daven. And he doesn't mention what happens when you get deeper in. And the Ramah says, "Umutar laharar shama divrei Torah." The Ramah says that you're even allowed to think of divrei Torah, even though you're not allowed to say the divrei Torah out loud. And then the Shulchan Aruch jumps back in and says, "Bepnimi," that's the inner part where people are mamash undressed. Shukulam amdim shama romim afilu shelat shalom asur. Over there, you're not allowed to even greet.
You're not allowed to greet only with using the word shalom.
Shelat shalom, right.
I can say how you doing or something like that.
So the Magen Avraham on this says, the shalom shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're in a place where you're worried that there are disgusting things, it smells, so you're also not allowed to say shem shalom there. Asur b'shelat shalom. Badam sheshmo shalom asur likoto b'shmo. Aval b'loshon la'as shari likoto. So it says if a person's name is Shalom, you're also not allowed to say it in such a place. You're not allowed to say that in the bathroom. If his name is Shalom, you're not allowed to talk to Shalom in the bathroom. But you're allowed to say it Belashon Laz. What's Shalom Belashon Laz?
Peace. Salam.
So
I was thinking Shulam.
Shulam Lema?
Yeah,
or it's coming from a chassid, no?
Or Shulam Shtisel.
Too much TV, Rav Danny. Too much TV.
Well, you got the reference, so apparently you watch too much TV too.
Maybe.
So I don't know what Shalom B'Lashon Laz, but either way, the Magen Avraham says you cannot say even the name Shalom in the bathroom. Who disagrees? His good friend the Taz, the Turi Zahav on the other side. He says, "Aval im yesh adam sheshmo shalom vaday ein isur lazkir shmo b'beit ha-merchatz o beit ha-kisei." Even in the bathroom, even in the toilet, deino mitkaven. Dad, you know that the British, British, they call it the toilet. They say they're going to the toilet.
That's right.
No American would be caught saying such a thing.
You say lavatory.
Just don't talk in such gas ways.
A washroom, a bathroom, a restroom,
a toilet. It's not appropriate.
We use the bet melchatz. It needs to be called so that you know what to do there. We know just from the name toilet what to do.
I'll tell you what, it's better than Israelis. Anybody who works with Israelis know what they say. Anyway,
sidewalk, walk on the side. Yeah, pavement's good.
Okay, thank you, Michael McIntyre. Let's move on. Obed akisi deinu mitkaven al inyan hashalom el haskarat shmo shel oto adam. Because when you say the person's name, you're not talking about Hashem. You're talking about the person. So that's what he says. Lo amru ba gemara asur lomar shalom b'merchatz el asur litein shalom. And his raya is that it doesn't say in the gemara that you're not allowed to say shalom. It says you're not allowed to latet shalom. Okay. V'chein atur v'shulchan arach lo zarchu el shelet shalom v'lo amirat shalom. Nobody says anything about saying shalom. They say things about asking shalom or giving shalom.
Is it saying you shouldn't greet one another in the toilet? Asoli ten shalom is like you shouldn't say hi to somebody in the toilet.
No, but that's the point. I think this is a callback to the Radbaz. The Radbaz says, what are you saying when you say shalom aleichem to somebody? You're saying peace be upon you. Who are you talking to when you say peace be upon you?
The one who makes peace.
The one who makes peace.
Should bring you peace.
You're saying, it's a short way of saying, God should give you peace.
But what if you don't use the word peace and say, be well? Is that not also invoking Hashem, saying, be well?
I was wondering the same thing. I was wondering the same thing, almost anything. What if you say good luck to somebody?
Yeah. I was under the impression God that one isn't allowed to. Until you told me about a year ago, I was under the impression that one wasn't supposed to speak Hebrew in the toilet. You told me that was nonsense about a year ago, but...
It was nonsense? Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's Lashon Kodesh, I guess. It sounds like nonsense.
That's what I said.
So, okay, but that's what the Taz says. The Taz says, Litain Shalom is a problem, but not Amirat Shalom. And he says, "Od raya mi dekasav v'rabim shemutar lomar b'merchatz rachum v'katav alzeh arayved lo matzino shem rachum ki im ala bore v'asur lomar b'beit hakisei ad kam neshon." So here he's going to go step by step. He says the Rambam says that you're allowed to say rachum in the bathroom. And the Ravid says that the reason is because Rachum, no, the Ravid says you're not allowed to say in the bathroom because it's only attached to Hashem. V'heviyo b'kol makom sh'harav sh'ari cholek al zeh, darei, who is that? Rav, I can't remember who this is. Cholek al zeh, darei k'tiv, chanun v'rachum v'tzadik, harei lefanecha, de kol sh'yesh la'adam gam ken oto tara kamo sh'yesh la'Hashem yitbarach, mutar la'amro. Kol sh'gen mikriyat shem b'lvad, she'en mechavan, ela l'siman kriyat ha'adam sh'pshita d'mutar. Any name that you could also give to a person can't be an immutable name of God. Any way that you could describe a person can't be a name that belongs only to God. That's what the Rambam seems to be saying.
Maybe this is a reason not to name your child Shalom?
Yeah. You know, if you don't want to get involved and don't want to make problems, so you don't name your child Shalom.
Isn't the problem much greater? If I greet you and I say, hi, Rav Danny, how are you? You normally say, good or Baruch Hashem. And if you're in the toilet, you don't want to be saying that.
So yeah, I would try not to say that.
In the word Hashem.
In the bathroom.
Yes, Hashem.
Most people automatically answer Baruch Hashem.
Yeah.
Like David Hashem always asks me, how are you? He says Baruch Hashem.
Yeah, but you already referenced
Hashem is not God's name. Hashem is
I don't think you can say Baruch Hashem. Really. I still don't think you can say Baruch Hashem in the bathroom.
Okay.
Right.
I have a problem. Sometimes I need to say Shabbat in the bathroom. I'm telling the girls, okay, we're bathing for Shabbat, and I don't feel good about saying it. I don't know. It doesn't feel right. Okay, now finally, last piece of trivia. Mori Chamizal katav da'asur likrot la'adam b'merchat im shmo shalom ve'eno mechuvan l'fi ani yedati. So Taz quotes his father-in-law. Who's his father-in-law? Who's the Taz's father-in-law?
The Bach? No.
Yes, the Bach, that's right. And he always disagrees with him. But he always calls him Mori Chamizal. So that's the Taz. So the Taz disagrees and says there's no problem. So you have the Magen Avraham versus the Taz. The Magen Avraham and the Bach versus the Taz. Where does the Mishnah Berurah fall out? Mishnah Berurah says, V'adam sheshmo shalom, yesh osrim b'beit ha-merchatz likrot b'shmo, ela b'lashon laz, v'yesh matirin kevin she'enu mitkavein al inyan ha-shalom, ela haskarat shmo shel oto adam, u'bedivrei sofrim alach achar ha-mekel. It's interesting. The Mishnah Berurah assumes that this is the Rabbana. Called it divrei sofrim. I would think that the problem over here is Lo Tisa Hashem Hashem. Maybe it's not Lo Tisa Hashem Hashem Alecha L'Shav. It's really Bizui Shem Hashem, which I guess there is no.
That's Es Hashem Alecha Tira.
Yeah, I guess it's Es Hashem Alecha Tira. But he thinks it's Divrei Sofrim. Either way, it says Alach Achar Amekel. V'chein Noegin. People say hello to Shalom in the bathroom. V'yari Shemayim Yesh Lo Lachmir. However, if you're Yeshmayim, you should be careful. Yan Ki Abem Yachronim Osrin. V'yivlah Hamem. What's the way to be Machmir?
Shalom.
Shalom. V'yomer shalom lo mem. Oh, shalom bin nun. V'gam v'igaret ha-reshut nachon shalom lichtov shalom v'imvav rak shalem. So he wants you to write shalem instead of shalom.
In the toilet.
What? We didn't do this Gemara actually.
Any letter that somebody writes in Hebrew and he starts by it with Shalom Chaver, or Shalom Shlomi, or Shalom Moti, that's also subject to being thrown in the garbage, of course.
Yes, that's why they're saying that you shouldn't do it.
But so I shouldn't start a letter with the word Shalom either then.
The Chatchila, no. The Chatchila, no. Guys, we have 5 minutes left until 10, which is when we usually stop. With your permission, I'd just like to read a little bit further in the Gemara. I actually meant to earlier. It has to do with what we read in last week's parsha, and at least we can mention the word Shabbat at least once tonight and justify our existence. So if you take a look.
Make sure you're not in the bathroom.
Not in the what?
Make sure you're not in the bathroom.
Not in the bathroom.
So hold on.
The bathroom.
Okay, here we go. Here. Here we go. Okay, so Amar Rav Abba Machasya, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya. Amar Rav, Anotin Matana Lechavero, Tzarich Lehodiyo. Probably you've heard this Gemara before. Person gives a present to his friend, he needs to tell him about it. Don't just give it to him. Shneimar, Ladat, Ki Ani Hashem Ekadishchem. Because Hashem tells Moshe to tell them that he is the one who's sanctifying them. What's the context? Tani na mihachi, ladat ki ani Hashem mekadishkem. Amar le'Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, matana tova yesh li bebeit ginzai, v'shabbat shma. I have a beautiful gift in my treasure house, and Shabbat is its name. Ani mevakesh leitna liYisrael, and I want to give it to Bnei Yisrael. Lech v'hodiyam, go and tell them about it. Okay? Now, where is this happening? You know, at what point is this happening? It's actually from last week's parasha. Oti beinu v'neichem.
When Moshe is up on the mountain?
Yeah, but before everything goes wrong. Right before everything goes wrong, when Hashem is telling Moshe about Shabbat, that's what this is referring to. If you give, it's a different point, but if you give a piece of bread to a child, you have to tell his mother about it. So, let's skip past this part. Just get to but wait a second. Rav Chama Rachanina says that if you give a gift to a friend, you don't have to tell him about it. Shneamar, O Moshe lo yada ki karan or panav bidabro ito. This is also from the end of last week's parasha, where Moshe had apparently, right?
The horns? Rays of light.
Rays of light coming off from his face. Karan or panav, corona coming off
and
his
that's
face.
A, so and that's a matana.
He had to put on a mask. What was that, Simon?
That's defined as a matana.
Oh, a horn.
Yeah, it wasn't horns. He had a shining face. He had a shining face, and yes, that's.
But the point of the Gemara here is that it's a matana.
It's a matana, which he didn't know about it. Moshe lo yada ki karan or panav b'dabro ito. So Gemara says, how could Hashem not tell him about it? So lo kasha habim milta David aligluli habim milta de lo abid aligluli because. He was about to find out. Everybody is, you know, Nivhalu mipanav. Everybody is running away from Moshe. He's going to find out about the fact that he's got rays of light coming off of his face. But if you don't tell the people about Shabbat, then maybe they won't know. We'll have to discuss what this means in a minute. V'ha-Shabbat avid eligluy matan schar. V'ha-Shabbat avid eligluy. But we are going to find out about Shabbat. He's going to tell them about Shabbat. So matan schara lo avid lugule. We're not going to find out about the reward of Shabbat. So Moshe has to tell them about the reward. Now, I wanted to just show you this Ran over here. It's an important Ran. The Ran says, but wait a second. Do we always tell people about gifts we give them? Is that true? Is there any case where we dafka don't tell a person about a gift that we're giving them?
Matan
b'seita, right? That's a big deal. When you give a poor person money, so one of the higher levels is to give it them in a secret way. So the Ran says, "Perish v'dafka b'ashir." You only have to tell people about it when you give it to a rich person or a person who has money. So then you should tell them about the gift. But if you're giving it to a non-rich person, to a poor person, so you don't want to embarrass them, so you give it to them in a secret way, so they don't have to feel like every time they see you, they remember and you're thinking about how you gave them money. Just last point, I think I sent this out in a WhatsApp last week, which I apologize, I haven't been sending as many WhatsApps on the Shtiklach WhatsApp group as I used to. I don't have as much time. But I think I sent this out from the Orach Chaim, an idea over here that, I mean, I just sent it out, that he asked, the Orach Chaim says, what's the real difference between Shabbat and what's the idea of Shabbat that nobody knew about Shabbat? What don't we know about? So he says, people think that the real essence of Shabbat is, what's the line in the Zemer? Vashena Meshubachat, right? You get to rest. You don't have to work, and you don't have to worry about your telephone. Get to relax. And you get a little bit more to sleep, right? And he says, you know, that's all great stuff, but that's only the outer clothing of Shabbat. That's only the exterior. The real inner part is the spiritual part. And that people don't know about. So Moshe has to tell them about that. That's what Lo Avida Leglule means. People won't understand that the real essence of Shabbat. And in fact, he says that the outer part, the rest, it's not that it's not good, and it's not that it's not real. It's that the rest is a siman of the real enjoyment of Shabbat. It's like the outer manifestation. It's a siman of what's going on inside. That there's a rest for your nefesh. There's a rest for your soul that's happening on the inside that you don't get to have the rest of the week. That you may not feel, but you should know that it's happening because just like your body is resting on Shabbat, so too is your nefesh. And people don't know about that. So that's what Moshe has to tell them about. All right. We'll stop there. Anybody who has to get to a Hinch Minion or whatever.
By the way, I just want everyone to see that I provided the refreshments tonight.
Shabbat, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Continue this
See you tomorrow night.
Thank you for that.